Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Brian, thank you very much. Well, as you heard there, the Northern Ireland executive is currently holding an emergency meeting to discuss the rioting and the disorder in Belfast, which started on Good Friday. Obviously an historic day for Northern Ireland's fragile peace process. Bertie Ahern, former Taoiseach and a signatory of that agreement, joins me on the line now. Good morning to you, Bertie.
Good morning to you, Philip.
Can we roll up the sleeves and just get straight into what should or could be done at this point in time? What way would you think about tackling it?
Well, I think it has to come from a number of fronts. I mean, the reports of what you've been doing this morning teases out some of the issues. Clearly, the parties in the north need to come together and not only condemn the violence, but try to work a pathway forward. This has been coming for since last September. You didn't have to be an expert to see where this was boiling and the speeches and the rhetoric and you know, since Christmas, you could see the way it would turn. So I think the parties themselves need to tone it down, or dial it down, is a word they seem to like to use. But they need to do that fairly fast and work together and genuinely work together. I know the thing about the Story funeral, and I know other events and how they perceive the protocol. But that's the first thing. The second thing I think needs to happen is that, as far as I might be wrong on this, but I don't think we've had a British-Irish intergovernmental conference since May of 2019. I could be wrong on that, but that's 2 years. And the two governments are the sole guarantors of the agreement. Zoom meetings are the order of the day, so I think they should have a meeting quickly. I think the two governments at the leaders' level should have that meeting, because they have issued statements, but I think proper discussions on it would be a help, and I think would help to do things. And the third thing is, where a lot of this is coming from since the 1st of January, is the protocol. Now, the protocol isn't going to vanish, and everybody knows that. But I think the practical implementation of the protocol and the impact on the day-to-day operations is something that Simon Coveney was trying to do and was trying to be helpful with before the British unilaterally moved the time clock on it till the autumn. So I think that should re-engage itself, which of course requires the European Union. And I think, in fairness to Simon Coveney, he correctly was trying to do this in January and February. So those three separate things are needed.
Deal with the last one first. What might the EU's most helpful response here? Might it actually be to accede to long-fingering the implementation of the Northern Protocol just until things calm down?
I think that maybe that would be an issue of it. But apparently, from all I've heard, and I've heard it directly from Northern Ireland business people, they're vexed about a lot of the issues that cover medicines, cover horticultural items, and they say that there are practical business difficulties in this. Now, if that is the case, it does not seem impossible, and I think Simon Coveney has said this, and he's up for this, that they would try and work it out. But what affected that, just go back a little bit on this one, Philip, what affected that in February was when the minister was trying to do that, the British unilaterally, through the Secretary of State, just abandoned that and moved into a new zone. And that was entirely unhelpful. And that probably is the reason that there hasn't been the same kind of dialogue between the two governments that there needs to be. And the reality is, listen, the North is never simple, Philip. You know that. You've been covering it as long as I've been around. And what you need is the two governments to be in touch regularly on the issues. And you know, when people just jump the gun and leave the other one naked, that doesn't help the relationship. So the British-Irish Intergovernmental Conference needs to be held to sort that out and to get relations back on an even scale.
For as long, indeed, longer than you were involved in trying to address the problems of Northern Ireland, this issue of parties or of groups turning on and off the tap of violence was always there. How do you ultimately address that? Because to enter into negotiations about the grievances that have supposedly led to the tap being deliberately turned on is to actually give in, isn't it?
Yeah, but you see, You know, I see that there's a day of action organised by some groups. I don't know who's really behind it, but it's all over social media last night and today with the Union Jack. And like it goes under the logo, "Will not be the generation to fail Ulster." And the protests organised for Larne and for Lisburn and Belfast City Hall and Carrickfergus and Racoole. So it's fairly well orchestrated and very serious, and nobody should underestimate that. So I think politically is the only way you can get on top of it. The thing that really is upsetting about this, Philip, I think there is this perception that's been allowed to run for a year now that the protocol is something to do with taking away the identity of loyalists. That is not the case. The Good Friday Agreement is the international agreement, and that can only be changed by consent of the people in the North. It's a political referendum act of some time in the future. And there's nothing in the protocol taking away anything. The protocol is dealing with the problems that relate to the form of Brexit that the British government
So how followed. Do you then go to those loyalist communities and say to them, look, the Northern Ireland Protocol is a really boring, tedious piece of legislation that is about trade between these two islands and between Great Britain and the EU, and that's all that it is?
And that is correct, and I think that message has to be. And me, Billy is a good guy. I've dealt with Billy for years, and Billy Hutchinson. And I think, you know, nobody perceive, and this is why I've been talking to many loyalists over the last year. And this is what they perceive. The line across the Ireland to the border that was across the island of Ireland, they see that the argument was used by us in the south, saying that if we have any customs checks on that line, therefore there might be violence and there might be trouble. So therefore we took that line and we stuck it down the Irish Sea. So therefore they think if you agitate violence, that you some way get rid of that. Now, of course, whoever was at wrong, let's not get into that. But that isn't what it is. The constitutional position of Northern Ireland is the same as it was 20 years ago on Saturday at the agreement of Good Friday Agreement. And the protocol has damn all to do with it. The protocol is to do, as you correctly said, to do with medicines and vegetables and other industrial products. And that message has to be thumped home. And politicians in the North and in the South, I think we have to be far stronger at saying that is the reality. And of course, I don't have any argument with the DUP. I get on a lot with them, but they have to accept this, that Theresa May offered them a customs union that would be UK-wide.
For the whole of the UK, yeah.
And they didn't accept that. I mean, that was their call. They objected to that. If they did accept that, Philip, this problem wouldn't arise at all. Now, two wrongs don't make a right, but they can't be letting on that they were duped in this. I mean, they made that call. And when I went to the Commons Committee, Sammy was there and asked me questions all that day. And, you know, he knows that bloody well. And you know, so we don't want to be going backwards, but we have to go forwards and tell the truth and say that what we have is a protocol which wanted to keep Northern Ireland in the single market. There's advantages of Northern Ireland being in the single market. It wasn't anything to do with the South that was Brexit. And let's try and roll it on, but stop the violence of young people, because what will happen whenever there's a vacuum in the North, someone gets killed and then the whole temperature changes, and that would be just a disaster.
Yeah. You are friendly with the DUP, and sometimes we have to admonish our friends. What would you say to Arlene Foster about that tweet last night that condemned the violence but then went on to say these people are an embarrassment to Northern Ireland and only serve to take the focus off the real lawbreakers in Sinn Féin?
Yeah, well, you listen, that wasn't helpful.
She knew what she was doing, don't you think?
Yes, but I hope she thinks differently about it this morning. I suppose we all do things and we do differently the following day. But I think that is not helpful, because it just stirs up young people who don't really understand all of this. And I would have thought she would have been taking credit that the Assembly last week sanctions Sinn Féin over their attendance at that funeral. And there was a debate on it where there was, a profound apology by Conor Murphy and Michelle O'Neill. So, like, you know, I'm not saying forget about it, but if we keep going back on each issue, then you end up in trouble. And I think there's a few practical things. As I said, the parties in the North need to get their act together strongly against the violence, stop the argument with the PSNI.
And Bertie, I heard Sinn Féin have come out and have issued a statement today, Mary Lou McDonald putting her name to it. The violence witnessed on the streets in recent days is totally unacceptable. Political leaders need to speak with one voice, and so on. Are words actually helpful in these situations, or is what is actually needed is the senior figures to find their deputies and their lieutenants within these communities and say, get out there and actually physically put a stop to this. Tell these young lads to put down the stones and the bottles and go home.
Yeah, well, I think they can do that. But as I understand it over the weekend, Philip, in a number of the places in the north, some of the older loyalists and a lot of the guys that I dealt with who went, you know, moved from former combatants into the political system, they're in their 70s now. They were out there, and a lot of the younger guys now don't want to listen to this because they're listening to some of the speeches made by others. And the other thing that is not happening, if my information is correct, and I think it is, the on-the-ground contact between the communities on both sides is not what it was a few years back. And that's a worry. Mm-hmm. And I think before the marching season, that needs to be built up again, because those contacts were very valuable in stopping violence over the last, you know, 20 years.
So what we're really saying here, and there's no ageist insult intended or implied in this, is we're saying that 1998 is now so long ago that the Good Friday means very little to an awful lot of people of this generation.
Yeah, you see, because this is where the misunderstandings come. And if somebody says, if I'm in a loyalist working class area, and, you know, I know that Billy works very hard for that community and has done, but if people are saying to him and to others, we'll not be the generation to fail Ulster, and they think by protesting and throwing petrol bombs that they're actually going to stop a line down the Irish Sea, which is a mythical line, just to stop custom checks on products. I mean, it's a total misunderstanding of what the position is. So the difficulty here is the level of misunderstanding. The only way of getting around that is people eyeballing each other, or if it has to be zooming each other, doing that. But not having meetings between the two governments for 2 years isn't a great way to lead that. And I know somebody will say, oh, there were meetings about COVID and that, but I'm talking about meetings of one of the functions of the Good Friday Agreement. The British Irish and Government Conference is one of the sections of the Good Friday Agreement, and it should be used.
Exactly. Well, look, it sounds like an overly simplistic remedy talking, but it was talking that solved the problem in the first place, leading up to the Good Friday Agreement 23 years ago now. Bertie Ahern, thank you very much for joining us. Coming up after the break, what exactly were Monaghan GAA up to or not up to?
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.